Soul Speak Living in Color, where we talk about inspirations, following your dreams, and what lights your fire. I'm your host, Sam Filia, Rainbow and Thunder voiceover. You can find me at samfiliavo.com.
Hello, and welcome to Soul Speak Living in Color. Today we have the wonderful Brian Cook with us. He's a broadcast engineer by day and a voiceover artist by night. I don't know exactly in that order, but you get the idea. So that is no easy feat, and we're going to talk about how he balances that stuff. We're going to talk about some inspirational stuff that he's got for us today. So Brian does a variety of voiceover, commercial, narration, character. If you like a good Stitch or Joker impression, you should check out his social medias, which, by the way, you can find him by ibcook.vo on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook, and ibcookvo on YouTube and Twitter. And make sure the first one is a dot, the other one doesn't have the dot. I'll be putting that in the blog post in the description on YouTube, so that way make it a little bit easier for you guys. He does have a Linktree link, so it'll go directly to all of his stuff, so that makes it super fantastically easy. All right, so without further ado, Brian, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad to have you here so you can talk about all the cool stuff that I know that we're going to be discussing for everybody. I've seen a lot of your TikToks. They're really awesome. You have some great impressions.
Thank you.
Before we get into that, we'll be talking about that later. First, what do you do as a broadcast engineer?
Keep everything on the air, I guess is the best way to put it. We do everything from taking care of the regular computers that everybody uses, to the video servers that we use for playing out commercials, for playing out video clips for the newscasts. We actually do local news as well. So we do about 10 hours of local news per day, because we actually hub our local market and two other markets out of our building.
It's a lot of busy work, especially at the computer, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, I actually came in at a really good time, because broadcasting, especially in our area, Northern Indiana, we were in the process of going from the old medias, you know, tape, reel to reel, stuff like that, to all digital. So now I don't think we have a tape player in our station, period. It's all on hard drives, servers.
Yeah, that's kind of considered vintage now, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, even when it comes to radio, CDs are considered vintage. I know that most radio stations keep a couple CD players still in the rack just because they have, you know, need to have that backup option. But radio stations, all their song catalogs are on hard drives.
Well, I must be considered old school, because I still have about 1,500 CDs in this house somewhere. I still have a whole bunch of DVDs and CDs from the time I was like 10 to through college.
Oh, yeah. I still do, too. I actually still have the, the first 5 or 10 Now CDs that they put out way back when.
Yeah, me too. I've got several of those, but they're still good. It's good music. Never gets old. So how did you get into being a broadcast engineer?
I actually have an IT background. That's what I went to college for, and was working at a small IT consulting firm, and saw that this, you know, job posting was available. They were looking for someone. I thought, you know, it's just a shot in the dark. I'll submit my resume. Didn't hear anything. And about, I think it was 6-7 months later, finally got a call back. And it turns out that they had been looking for a broadcast engineer or someone who was, you know, already in the broadcast world with an IT background, because they knew they were making this transition to old school media to, you know, computer media. Mm-hmm. And they weren't having any luck. So they flip-flopped the requirements and started looking for someone with an IT background that they could teach broadcast engineering. And that's where I came in.
Nice. So you kind of just got on this on a whim then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that funny how a lot of things that happen that way end up being some of the coolest jobs?
Yeah. It. it's rarely ever the same day. That's all that needs to be said.
That sounds like fun to me.
It is. It keeps you on your toes.
So what do you most like about that career?
The people that I work with, the people that I get to see grow in the industry, the constant change in technology. Not only did we, you know, go from, like I said, CDs and video cassettes to hard drives, but we've also gone from the old satellite trucks that you used to see with the huge towers that they would put up to backpacks that do the same thing with, you know, half a dozen to a dozen cell connections packed into it. So yeah, all of our photographers go out with these backpacks and use the cell phone service that, you know, we all have grown to love and rely on for their live shots. Now it's no more satellite trucks, no more point to point, you know, vans with these giant towers sticking out of them.
Wow. So much I know about that. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's, there are things that have progressed over the last 10, 15 years that it's just amazing how much we don't have to lug around with us anymore.
Technology at its finest. So I imagine being a broadcast engineer kind of got you, I don't want to say a foot in the door, but kind of got you thinking about voiceover. I imagine you dealt with that a lot.
Yeah. When I first came aboard, back in 2007, the company that I worked for was actually a television station and radio station. So we had both sides of the entertainment coin, if you will. Made friends with a lot of radio talent, and it was just always something that really interested me. I did do speech and theater in school. And I never really thought of that as an option. I always, you know, was the goofy one that would throw out the voices here and there. And, you know, I used that as a entry to, you know, gain friends and, you know, conversation. I was always trying to be the comedian, I guess, if you will.
Right. So you were the kind of person who was the clown in the classroom.
Yeah, I tried to be anyways. Yeah.
You seem like you have a very calm, introverted type of demeanor.
Yeah, and that was part of the problem. Even now, I mean, back in junior high and high school, when I was on stage, I did have a rough time actually getting on stage the first couple of years, but eventually I got over that fear. I am still a very reserved person, but mm-hmm. when push comes to shove, I will interact with people. I mean, it's just part of the job. You can't spread joy unless you're willing to interact with others. And I know social media has kind of taken a foothold in everybody's lives. And I know that there is some interaction, not necessarily face-to-face, but getting that interaction through social media has definitely boosted my confidence. Sorry, I'm going on so many tangents.
No, I get it. It's definitely a tough thing to overcome. It's kind of like a lot of people have a fear of judgment. And that's a big thing for people in school who have that type of personality. So yeah, you try to become something that you think other people are going to like, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing that really sticks out in my mind, I was on our high school speech team and did radio for that as well. And actually wrote some commercials that I thought were just goofy off the wall and wouldn't get anything, you know, accomplished except for checking all the teachers' boxes so I could get a decent grade. Turns out the commercials that I wrote got a huge reaction from the classes. and I was actually asked to come back in for a couple of the other speech classes and use my commercials as examples as to what the teacher was looking for.
That's awesome. Heck yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So up until this point, how long have you been doing voiceover?
I started voiceover about 4 years ago. And really didn't know what I was doing. Jumped into it headfirst. Also didn't have a really good support system at the time. So I was on my own in trying to do that and didn't know where to go, didn't take the time to do research and figure things out for myself. I know everybody, that's one of the questions, you know, everybody asks, how did you get into voiceover? Well, everybody's journey is different.
Right.
So yeah, my journey in my mind started about 5 years ago and lasted about 6 months. I was able to get one paying job at the time and nothing else. So there were some other things going on. And because it was just at the time, my attempt to have another side job, I just let it go and packed everything away until, you know, within the last year. And then started doing research, started reading, started building networks, have a great support system behind myself now. Couldn't be doing this without my family. That's for darn sure. And so, yeah, now I'm plugging ahead and hoping to make this my full-time job.
That's awesome. So you started with no support. You said, I'm still going to do this. I don't care. And then eventually you gained what you needed.
Yep.
That's fantastic. Tell me about your dream role. You've been in this a little long. You're doing it pretty well, looks like. So what would be the ultimate yes for you?
I think a lot of people have this dream, especially in the industry, but some kind of character that I can call my own, you know, some kind of long running series. I mean, to be a person like Nancy Cartwright or Hank Azaria, you know, be part of The Simpsons and have that many years of a run as, you know, half a dozen to a dozen different characters that are a part of you. That would be awesome. But I'm also okay with just having a single shot character. I mean, I've gone to, I'm a huge sci-fi, fantasy, comic book, anime person as well. So I see all the reactions that people in the industry get at conventions now. I mean, there are characters that are just in movies that people, you know, this work can affect people in so many different ways. I guess going back to your question, I don't really need a single role as long as I'm constantly paying it forward and bringing joy, support, and comfort to somebody else by doing what I'm doing.
That's awesome. So you guys, you got to follow Brian Cook. He's looking to inspire somebody and bring joy into somebody's life. It's not often you get people who are like that. Not in today's society.
Yeah. And I mean, my personal journey over the last 5 to 6 years, it's been rough. And I know how we can all get wrapped up in being somebody we don't want to be.
Putting on a mask and then having trouble taking it off after wearing it for so years. I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I finally feel like this is my permanent mask. This is who I want to be. This is who I am. I don't put on masks anymore. The characters that I perform and become are part of me.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, I'm done with using masks.
I love it. We're done with using masks. Fuck a mask.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good punchline. Whew. All right. So, I mean, well, me being on this self-discovery journey that I've been on for like 2 or 3 years now, it's really been deep with me for the last year on, because I had started out trying to find my brand, which thankfully is out now and we're loving it. But up until that point, I was like, who am I? I don't know this person that I've been wearing for the last 10, 15 years.
You were a passenger in life.
Right. I was not doing what I wanted to do. And so I was just dissociative. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. I've seen so many people give their stories and it's so similar to that. And I love that now that everybody is concerned with mental health awareness and all of these great things that are leading to everybody figuring out who they are and coming into their own authenticity. Mm-hmm. We are all taking off the masks. I love
it. Exactly.
So tell me about some other passions. I know that we had briefly spoken about you're a mental health advocate. You have mm-hmm. 3 kids, right?
Yes.
A couple of other hobbies. So tell me a little bit about all this.
Like you alluded to, I had my own self journey about 5 or 6 years ago, and through the process, learned a lot about myself, learned that self-love is not something that should be shamed or you should be ashamed of, because you can't love others unless you love yourself. You can't love anybody else properly unless you love yourself first. I know we don't always like ourselves, but you have to have that self-love, or otherwise you're just, again, going to be wearing a mask.
I mean, it's not like you don't always like the person that you're going to be with.
Right.
You don't have to always like yourself, but you got to love yourself.
Right. And that's actually a phrase that gets thrown around in our house. we always say, I don't like you right now, but I will always love you.
That's funny.
And, And we try to teach our kids that, you know, you don't always like yourself at, you know, a given moment because of something that you might have done that negatively affected yourself or somebody else, but you should always love yourself and those, you know, closest to you.
I wish more people understood that sentiment. You know, you got to find, find within yourself the love that you sometimes have to create. Sometimes you have to change who you are for yourself to even begin to love yourself.
Yeah.
And that's important because I don't feel like you could truly love somebody else without understanding and loving yourself.
Yep. Yep. And that's what we're definitely trying to instill in our kids. We have a son who's 17. And then we have two beautiful daughters, 9 and 7. They're all great kids, all special in their own way. So hopefully they have better tools than what we did growing up.
Hey, that's the whole point of having kids, right? You teach them all the good things and sometimes the bad things. Yeah. All the things that you wish you knew at that age.
Yeah. And honestly, we're actually teaching our parents. I mean, I don't know how many times in the last couple of years, my parents have told me, you know, I wish that we knew what you know now, because we would have done things differently with you kids than what actually happened.
And that's okay.
But the fact that they're realizing that just shows how much they truly do love us kids.
It also shows how human they are. Everybody makes mistakes. And yeah. It's growing from those and understanding that you don't know everything. Sometimes when you're 60, 70 years old, you see what your kids are doing with their kids and you're like, wow, I kind of wish that I knew that.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of strength to admit that, you know.
Good on them. So that's a huge age gap for your kids. Does the older brother play the protector for the little ones?
Yeah, most of the time. he does love them, but he also gets annoyed by them. But that's you know, typical sibling. Mm-hmm. But yes, he is big protector. And they love the fact that they have a big brother that is willing to do that for them.
That's awesome. It's nice when you have that family unity, you know. It's like you just said, you don't have to always like them, but you always got to love them. And siblings are the epitome of that statement.
Oh, yes, they are.
Oh, man. So tell me about your life as it is with trying to balance your full-time job as a broadcast engineer and trying to make it even part-time as a voice actor, because we all know that is extremely difficult.
Oh, do, yeah.
Especially it with has, a family.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, for one, I wasn't expecting to be reading and researching so much to accomplish what I've, you know, accomplished right now. But that's one of the things that I absolutely love. My wife she's like, don't take this as me complaining, but good grief, you have a lot of books. And I'm like, well, you know, it's helping me in the process. And as far as balancing everything, it is difficult, and I'm learning mechanisms, not only on my own, but, you know, the great community that we have on TikTok, picking up little tips here and there from everybody else and integrating those into my life. And then, like I've said before, having a support system. You know, my wife said, are you doing okay? You know, you seem kind of off. You seem really stressed out. Is there something I can do to help you? And we started talking about it, and it just came to a point where I had to take a little time away from TikTok and dealing with my other social medias and not be a creator for the last, you know, about a week, just be a patron and deal with everything else that's going on. My full-time job, we're deep into some huge projects, so that's been taking up a lot of my time. You know, dealing with family, that always takes up a lot of time. And trying to find that balance. I haven't found a good balance yet, but I'm working on it. I'm also using tools now that I wasn't a month ago to try and further the voice acting career. And it's helping me get organized. It's helping me plan things out. The kids actually are starting to get into my routine. So I actually am starting to set aside time to do specific things. So I sat down with everybody and said, hey, this is what I need to do. And this is the time I'm going to take to do it. So, don't feel bad. I'm not trying to take time away from family. I'm not trying to ignore you, but this is important to me. And I need this time away from everybody else to get this done. And they have been very accepting and very supportive of it all.
That's awesome. I think that's how a family should be. Still want to be around them. You just got to be able to focus. So tell us a little bit about what you do on TikTok.
Originally I started TikTok just to see what the heck it was. And now I have, for the last month and a half, have done a Joker's joke of the day, done my best to try and do that every day, but because I needed to take a break, didn't quite accomplish that this past week, but also started up a segment I call Stitching Inspiration, that I read off a inspirational quote using my Stitch impression. So those are my two bits right now. I have some others in the works. I actually have a couple collabs coming up that I'm working with others on. Some of the other TikTokers that are out there will be joining me on some collabs that I hope to have out within the next couple, 3 weeks. So yeah. Just trying, like I said before, paying it forward and making the world a better place with my voice in some shape or form.
That's awesome. I saw that you also post your videos that you do from like the Stitch Inspirations and the Joker's joke of the day. I saw that also on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So that's some great social media marketing.
Yeah, I've tried to do that. I haven't kept up with Twitter or Instagram or YouTube. I haven't figured out a way to really utilize Twitch yet, but I probably will at some point in time. but yeah, I've been, in the beginning, I tried to keep up the cross-platform posting. And it just kind of became too much in the last couple of weeks. So when it comes to YouTube, for sure, I'm going to start doing a weekly post of both segments, the jokes of the day and the inspiration. So you've got a little bit longer video, because those videos on TikTok at max are like 30 seconds. So I wanted to give, you know, like I said, just a week worth of rundown on YouTube. And we'll see what goes from there. I actually have one thing posted on YouTube that I don't have it completely posted because of the length on any other social media. A friend from Chicago actually did a fan film and asked me to provide the voice of the Joker character. He wrote a script. It was based on a comic book series where there was a Batman Joker and Spider-Man Carnage crossover. And so he wrote up a script for Spider-Man and Joker's introduction and asked me to voice it. So that's out on YouTube. Firecracker44 is the gentleman that that put the video together and shot it.
Nice.